International Podcast Day is September 30th, and you can help spread the word. International Podcast Day is dedicated to promoting podcasting worldwide. You may be asking, what can I do to get involved? It's pretty simple. First, head over to internationalpodcastday.com and check the suggestions. Second, use hashtag Podcast Day to join in the conversation. Remember September 30th. Now, let's start the conversation.
There's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
Make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure if I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Internet. One of those covers of the video still you remember.
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep. What in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
So I just finished watching John Wick. I'm like, okay. Oh my god. It's like I feel like I didn't remember that there's like the aftershock, almost like a level of kind of viewer fatigue, exhaustion from the freight train.
I know we haven't really started the podcast yet, but I was watching like the first half. I'm like, I'm a half hour in, and nothing's really happened yet.
Yeah, I forgot there was a really long, like, sort of build of him like crying for a long time.
And now we're gonna do a half hour of sad Keanu Reeves.
But I think I was actually, and I'll probably say this once we start, which I don't know why we're not starting, but I'm just looking for something to put this beer on. And you know the thing is, though, as soon as we start, then all of a sudden, like, the buzzer will be like, okay, my cousin's here. The one who's actually been begging us to do this one. Like, he's like, are you guys going to do a John Wick? And I'm like, of course. And then he's like, oh my god, can I be on it? And I'm like, yeah, definitely.
And just that goes out to our viewers as well. If there is a movie that you are die hard about, mm-hmm. and you want to get in on this, drop us a line. Let us know. We're on Skype. We can hook you up.
And it's why we created, like, a Gmail account. You know, it's like, it's why we have Facebook pages. It's why we have Twitter. It's why we, you know, have all these ways for you to reach out to us and be a part of the constantly ongoing conversation that is Hollow Nine.
Hollow Nine.
The audio TV network that's covering shows from other TV networks and providing original talk shows of their own. There are thrills. There are sometimes spills, often chills, and
hopefully not spills. That's just terrible.
All kinds of positive wills going on, I guess. Like Will, who went missing on Stranger Things. If you haven't been checking out the show that's taking the entire world by storm, including the Hollow Nine Network and the podcasting world around it, we have a show on that. So check that out and watch that shit on Netflix because it is awesome. Have you watched it yet? I have not had a chance
to get caught up with it. I've been playing catch up at work so much this past week.
Oh, that sucks. That sucks.
And then I get like home and I'm like, I just want to sleep.
Yeah, I hate weeks like that. Those are rough.
And then we dropped my kids off at the grandparents, which is like 40 minutes away. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll go with you to get them after I get home from work. Get home, it's like 10 o'clock at night, like, bed, where's my bed? I just want to sleep.
Yeah, like I thought I'd be able to watch a 40-minute show, yeah. And especially that show you don't want to fall asleep watching because it, like...
Yeah, that would be the end of it.
It's sort of like you'll get lost, but it has this sort of... I don't know. I fell asleep watching it, and I felt almost uncomfortable because some of it is so creepy that you're like, all right, what just... Like, is the Stephen King effect happening here where now suddenly I'm kind of part of this story, or what is this?
Am I going to wake up to Pennywise grinning at me?
Yeah, and there's a new Pennywise on the way out, too. We got this whole, it's everything's being rebuilt. You know what? I just saw the commercial for the other day that I was actually like, what the fuck? Ben-Hur. It's coming out, dude. New Ben-Hur.
Okay.
I don't know, man.
I'm okay with that.
I don't know. That, like, to me, like, now really nothing is sacred, I guess. I don't know.
And nothing ever was sacred. Come on.
True, but I thought Ben-Hur was one of those things that people didn't even remember, you know? Like, at this point, there's a generation that would just be like, yeah, we never watched that. Why watch
it? Which is why it's perfect for a reboot.
But, like, the first... yeah, I guess you're right. You're right. So I'm trying to picture myself at, like, that age now, you know? Like, when I remember being in the 80s and hearing about, oh, well, you're watching, that's a remake. And I'm like, so what? It's fucking cool. I know these people, and it's in color now. You know,
let me put it this way. Like, so the Wizard of Oz that everybody knows had been made like three times before that.
Really? With all the child abuse and controversy and everything? Yeah. Or?
So that was like, there'd already been like two other versions of the Wizard of Oz before that one.
And are they sort of what that newer one that was starring James Franco was kind of like more based on? Or was that just like a whole its own? I didn't watch that shit. I did not watch that. Maybe we'll do a what am I watching? Maybe we should do one on one that none of us saw before we did the podcast just to be like, okay, so here's my initial reaction to this.
We should do that. The problem is, of course, going to be find a movie that none of us have seen before.
Yeah, and then scheduling a time where we'll all actually like watch it and then be able to record about it. It is kind of crazy out there putting these things together.
Are you keeping track of us for the movie?
Am I keeping track of us for as far as what we're talking about, like going through the whole plot?
Yep.
Yeah, I guess I'll drive. No worries.
I've got running too, so no worries.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll play it in the background on my iPad because I bought it. Of course, the day I go to watch it for this, I go and check Netflix. It's not on Netflix. I go and check Amazon Prime. You have to rent it or buy it. And so I'm like, fuck, well, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to go buy it on iTunes so I could watch it on my iPad and all my iDevices. And, like, that just makes more sense.
Absolutely. And of course, my wife just chimed in by messaging me saying, like, the 1939 Wizard of Oz is the best one ever. By far.
All right.
This is something that she cares deeply about. Like, the whole movie that she had to pick to only ever watch ever again, it is that movie.
This is from Mrs. Gomez, not Adams. So check that out. On high recommendation there. It's like also like people don't know about the 32 Scarface with Paul Muni?
Oh, right, because it was, yes, exactly.
That actually, when you buy, I have that, like, you know, you remember there was that really cool collector's edition version of it that comes in, like, the suitcase, like a leather briefcase.
Yes.
Underneath the regular DVD that was in there was a DVD of the 1932 version, and I'm hoping it's 1932. I gotta go open IMDb and double check that, because I don't like being called out on inaccuracies.
And yet you still talk to me all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's why we keep you around, man. Fact checker. It's going on the card.
It's going on the business card.
I can't believe I still haven't made that yet. Okay, so we're going to Scarface 1932. Fuck yes. Something stuck from the wagon.
Blown for the win.
Touchdown. Anyway. All right, now let me get this movie's page up.
Just talking about the opening for this is... badass. Like, even before the credits start rolling, like, he rolls out of the bashed up SUV. He's beat to shit. You're like, you don't even know anything about this guy at this point.
And then he's
pulling out like the little camera, the phone so he can watch a video of his wife, and you're like, what does this have to do with anything?
It's like, well, whatever it is, clearly this guy's got some tortured self, self-torture. What do you call that? What's the word for when, not self-flagellation, but like he is keeping himself in some kind of tortured state of reliving a memory with this person. We don't know who it is, but it's a woman, so you can either assume girlfriend or wife, but... I like the way that all gets explained too. The way that rolls out. 7.2 stars on fucking Amazon. I mean IMDb. What the hell? What the hell, John? Why, John? Why don't you have more stars, John?
But you can definitely tell that this is guy. He's still in somewhat of the denial stage of the grieving process because he still has her coffee cup out by the coffee maker. He hasn't put away any of her cosmetic stuff away from her side of the bathroom. Like, all that stuff is still there.
Yeah. Well, we still, we have no idea what timeline-wise, you know, what's going on. when it starts.
Exactly.
You know, so especially like then as he gets the coffee in the morning, he starts to have the flashback of her in the hospital, and you start to say, okay, so she died. But we find out like later that it was like 3 days ago. You know, like this was like
or
this,
5 days ago.
This was this week at the beginning of the thing, and when Viggo is explaining to his son who John Wick is, and he goes, and then 3 days after the death of his wife, you steal his fucking car and he's and you kill his fucking dog. Bubuyenka.
What were you? It's like, come on. Really? This is the guy you had to steal the car from? Of all the people.
My favorite. Oh, God. So should we get into this? Should we start?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, let's count it in. Because it's like, I kind of... All right, I'll just go with it when we start. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1. Oh, my God. I think that was like 15 headshots in 5 seconds. That's pretty much all you need to know what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about John Wick on What Am I Watching? Hello, I'm Dave the Clone, and joining me tonight is...
Gomez, not Adams.
And I think we're going to have additional guests later on, but we're here to start talking about... Holy
John
God.
John Wick.
Director... Chad Stefelski and David Leitch, and written by Derek Kolstad, starring Keanu Reeves. And that's pretty much all you really need to say at first, because there's a lot of people in this movie, and that is also part of the awesomeness. But holy crap, John Wick. What have you heard? What did you, before you saw this movie, like, what did you heard about John Wick?
I did not actually know, I knew nothing about this movie prior to watching it, really, except that somebody on Facebook started posting clips from John Wick.
Oh, shit. Was this about, me?
It was you. You're the one that got me to watch this movie. I think it was like, am I back? Yeah, I'm back.
I think I'm back. Oh, my God. It's like, I also kind of, when I was thinking about, I was traveling for work today and on the plane home, I was thinking about the fact that I was going to watch this and we were going to record, and I was like, you know, this is the kind of movie that if it came out maybe 10 years earlier, like, I'm sure all the fight choreography would have been much lamer, but I imagine the trailer could have been like one of those, like, he was a one-man weapon, a wrecking crew used by the underworld, and then he got out. And it's like there'll be like a clip of them talking about, and then one day he left. It's like, who was he?
Well, see, this kind of movie has a lot of resonance for me. I mean, I view this as the same way that I view The Crow.
Yes! Oh my God! I mean, even saying The Crow lines, I was like, you're all gonna die when he walks into the bathhouse.
Exactly. You know, like, and I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the term mook horror show, but it's when you look at the bad guys and they're being stalked by, it's like the monster's out there. And yeah, the monster's the quote unquote good guy.
Yeah.
But that's what you're watching. You're basically watching the serial killer at work and you're cheering for him because this is what he does.
But it's also, see, it's interesting because it definitely has that layer on it because of the times it takes place in and the weaponry that's being used and the sort of criminal politics of it all, because there is a lot of implication of this whole idea of this world of these kinds of assassins and these sorts of mafia players that exists like alongside our world. And like there are those clubs like that hotel, the Continental, right, where
exactly.
In that scene when he walks into that bar for the first time in 5 years and change since he's been active, and you suddenly understand every single person in there is a John Wick type. You know what I mean? Like, in, they all probably have their own signature styles and their own signature weapons that they use, but all of them are these
killers, they're bank robbers, they're... Yeah. You name it.
A more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
And these are not your white-collar criminals. Mm. At all.
Yeah, they're hanging out at Ian McShane's place.
Exactly.
Yeah, see, there you go. There's another name drop for you.
They took Swearinger, transported him from Deadwood, and dropped him into the middle of New York City to run a hotel.
Yeah, and he's also made an appearance on Game of Thrones this season for a one-episode, one-off, spoiler alert for anyone who heard or didn't hear.
And then we have Theon Greyjoy.
Yes.
A very important part in this as well.
Well, and he was being very much like an exaggerated Theon Greyjoy from the show and the books. You know what I mean? Like, at one point in time, when Theon, before he was, you know, castrated and like broken when he was like a cocky shit. You know, it's like
that is very much that character.
And it was actually like that's kind of partly how I was able to hate him so much, though he's so despicable in this movie. Like the shit, it was like one of those things where you're like, really, dude, how could somebody be this blinded by their entitlement that like they don't get that? You know, I mean, I know it's supposed to be like.
Do you want me to answer that question?
He hasn't matured as a criminal. You know, he doesn't understand. He's a pampered. He's part of the entitlement generation.
Exactly. Well, he's a spoiled rich kid. Is what it really comes down to. He hasn't found anything that he could not buy.
And see,
up until this point,
that's where part of my, I guess, the first time I watched this movie. You know, like there's movies like this where there are moments, especially the first time you're watching it, that are sort of on the side of what I would call frustrating, where you're like, oh, come on! How is it, like, all lining up against him like that? Like, he's in the right, this is bullshit. And the first time you watch it, when they beat him and take his car and kill the dog, like, killing the dog was what, like...
Why did you...
You fucking prick.
What's even worse is that if he had just picked up the phone and said, hey... I ran into this guy. I really want his car. This is what the car is. Anybody in the tri-state area who knows him, knows his dad, knows anything, will be like, dude, back off.
Don't, not
we'll,
that we'll guy.
Find you another car.
Yeah, find someone else who has the same shit, but don't take his. And that's why I actually, one of my favorite characters in the whole movie is another name drop, is John Leguizamo. Him he as Aurelio, absolutely, the chop shop owner.
He's like he's a one scene wonder.
Yeah, but like, it's amazing.
It's great to see him do that, and it's great to see him in that kind of role because he's not. I'm so used to seeing Leguizamo as being the fast talking, smart mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna run away with this kind of scene, and I'm gonna play a fool a little bit.
You could also remember him as the pest.
I do, sadly.
And you could remember him as Luigi.
Who remembers him as the clown in Spawn?
Oh my god, the violator! Oh
yes.
No! That was so terrible. It was so terrible. I mean, the thing is, he tries, man. He really commits.
No,
like, I will say to respond to all that in addition to a scene like this, go see, you know, Romeo and Juliet, of course, when he was...
Watch his stand-up.
Yes, oh, his stand-up's incredible. His stand-up is really
funny.
And
his impersonations.
Like, his first ever one on HBO was Spikorama. Yep. That was incredible. That was so funny.
Or if you watch any of the impersonations that he does, are fantastic.
But did you see Kick-Ass 2? Did you see he was
not
awesome in Kick-Ass 2.
I saw the first one, and that kind of spoiled me on the...
Yeah, but the second one's really good. I wasn't in love with the first one either. But there's one part in the first one I am in love with. But that's because it's very John Wickian, in fact. I mean, Hit Girl is a female John Wick, you know? And that's kind of what I think is like her. And she was a John Wick before John Wick came out. See, John Wick came out at a time where there were movies coming out that were just people's names. Like... What was it?
Reacher.
Yes, I was like, you know the one I'm thinking of, the Tom Cruise one. Like, what the fuck was that? I watched maybe 5 seconds of that at a friend's house once because we had to stop to drop somebody's like cake off at like a party, and it was like, this is like my ex's, like the time of my ex. So I didn't even remember whose house it
was.
But we were like, I was like, this is bullshit. Like, I liked the Mission Impossible movies. I've bought Tom Cruise as an action star in the past. But
just not this time.
This thing was bullshit. Oh shit, there's the buzzer. That's my cousin.
Can I just point out that I know that they're supposed to be they're in Jersey, right?
Who? What? The
They're in Jersey. They're in New Jersey.
The where they live?
Yeah, where John Wick lives. It's New Jersey.
It's like, it's probably in the suburbs just outside of Jersey.
How
City
the hell do you screw up the simple basic thing that there's no self-service in Jersey?
Wow. That kind of... Maybe he was driving around in upstate New York that day.
Yeah, right?
It was Jersey.
Well, I don't know. It's like, which airport was he driving around? Which airport?
That had to
does
be
he...
like Newark or something.
No
like that,
fucking
right?
way, dude! Like Newark is almost like a federal airspace at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but he's John Wick.
I know.
It could have just been a private run.
Yeah, it seemed like one of those, like almost like a Teterboro-ish area, like one of those utility, almost maybe Air Force Base-ish kind of places
knows
about.
Playing chicken with the stationary construction vehicles.
Yeah, like a former Cold War base on the East Coast.
Yeah, just also they call that foreshadowing to let you know. Oh yeah, he could drive cars like it's Fast and the Furious. There's going to be some car shit later.
Porsche.
In a world where he's a one-man wrecking crew, a wheel man behind any machine. Constant 90s John Wick trailer that's going to be part of this podcast. Well,
this is like, if you enjoyed The Transporter, you'll like this movie.
Oh my god, that's exactly what it is. The Transporter is the cheesy version, though. Like, okay, first of all, everybody, let's welcome my cousin Evan to the show.
He's a
veteran from podcasts of old, and joining us, I think, for the first time on the Hollow Knight Network.
Yes, it is.
All right, and what a film to join us on. And actually, you're the biggest proponent for why we're doing this movie for What Am I Watching? You've been begging us to do this one since we started the podcast.
It's one of my favorite movies. I remember being in Fairchild Air Force Base, and we're all just sitting there, a bunch of security forces guys and special forces guys. They're all like, hey, have you seen John Wick? I'm like, oh, is that Keanu Reeves movie? I didn't really want to see it. And all of a sudden we put it on one day, and it was just an emotional roller coaster from start to finish, and I quickly fell in love. And we're all, a bunch of military guys going, oh my god!
Emotional roller coaster from start to finish.
But dude, the dog scene.
Oh, all right, yeah. That's there. We were kind of just getting there, right? We were just starting to talk about like killing the dog and how that's where it becomes like one step too far. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's where it's
It's like you can kill a kid, you can kill a mom, you can kill a dad. You kill your dog, a puppy.
It's like, okay, you broke into my house. You beat the crap out of me. Smash my shit, but then you kill my dog.
He even said that.
And that was part of his grieving process.
Yeah.
So congratulations, you found the monster in his cave, nursing his emotional wounds, and you're gonna poke him with a stick.
And yeah, like the monster in the cave is such a fucking amazing analogy for it too, especially because of when we're given the exposition, which I mean, okay, look, it's a formulaic movie to a degree. It's a gratuitous action movie to a degree. Well, not to a degree. That's what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
It's action porn. It's like insanity on a screen.
But it follows there's a well-defined formula for this kind of movie, right? So if you ever watched Payback with Mel Gibson.
Love Payback. Future episode. Okay. Absolutely.
If you look at the Kill Bill movies.
Love Kill Bill. Future episodes. Okay.
But those are the kind. That's the kind of. Those are the movies that this is pulling from. That's that background that it's digging into, and creating from. Because really, that's where it's trying to go from.
Hold on, Sam. I'm sorry. What were you saying, dude?
Bring up the cast. Cast of the film.
Oh shit! I'm sorry. I have it over here. Actors. Sorry, I already have that up.
Sorry.
All right. Sorry. What was? Do you think you could like do that point over? That way, I have a good edit point for when I have to.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
No, it's all right.
It's pulling from the revenge film genre, right? Mm-hmm. So you got Payback.
Yep.
You've got Kill Bill.
Yep.
You've got The Crow to an extent, where you have very much this sort of underworld that's existing next to the quote unquote real world.
Right, but there's like, and then there's the supernatural element to that too, and I think there's. I don't know. I mean, all right, I might be alone on something like this, but I kind of feel there's a superhero-ish, almost supernatural quality ascribed to John Wick in this movie as well. You know, I think, or there's an argument to be made for just like how unfucking stoppable he is, you know?
But let me put this out there. This, with a few minor changes, this could have been a Punisher film.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It should have been, if you think about it, if that's how we're seeing it now. I mean, and that kind of puts Keanu almost in that playing field now then? Is that what we're saying? That, like, could Keanu pull off a superhero movie? I mean,
he already did.
There's okay. Yeah. Are we going to talk about
the Matrix?
The first one. All right, I'll give you the first
absolutely.
One.
Yeah, absolutely. The first Matrix.
After that, it's just 100%. Garbage. After that, it's just
but,
garbage.
But, like, you bring up the fact that, like, he's almost unstoppable, but then it also shows throughout the film that he does get hurt. Like
the movie starts with that, though.
Yeah, it brings like this real good realism to it that he's a human being who feels pain and you know, gets hurt. Like, for God's sakes, like halfway through the movie, he falls and almost breaks his shoulder, almost breaks.
I mean,
his back.
I spend way too much time on TV tropes, and I will happily admit this. This is like the definition of dented iron.
Oh yes,
he gets beat up. He keeps going.
Well, he's a man of sheer will, which you have no idea about, son.
he shows the physical toll that going through that for 48 hours is going to take on somebody.
Yeah. Depending on business.
Yeah. But here's coming up on the scene where, you know, he gets ambushed in his apartment. You know, his dog is like, oh, I have to go out. But
it's a house.
His large house.
It's a very West Coast kind of house.
For Jersey. Well, I mean, actually, you know, there's some areas
in New Jersey
where you'd be. So there's like in Central Jersey or down where my buddy Cliff lives, where they've actually used a lot of houses down there for movies because they look on this level, like the pretentiousness of them are on that
level.
But, like, what I don't understand is how this is happening to him right now. Like, how he just got ambushed. But, like, fast forward about 30 minutes and, like, 18 guys break into his house, kills every single one of them, not a scratch.
Well, he's back in kill mode. He's activated again. The Jason Bourne effect.
Like, we don't know how long he's been out of the game.
At this point, because
he left for his wife.
Right. It's interesting how those tidbits are revealed to us throughout the movie, timing-wise, pacing-wise.
And my second thing is that he just woke up and he thought that his dog had to go outside to piss.
Yeah.
So he's not exactly saying, okay, somebody broke into my house, because why would they? He's not in that zone.
Yeah, he's also been untouchable for most of his life, so...
He gets touched. He's going to touch you back.
He's going to touch it back 10 times.
You know what I just realized watching this movie again for the podcast was that the dog actually limps its way over to him and dies next to him. He wakes up and it's like it's dead there.
You
like,
can see the blood.
The
blood.
Like that's
and
wow.
He sits there holding its dead body for a while, and then he buries it in his backyard with his hands.
Yeah.
While wearing his pajamas. You can see it. Look at his jugular when it pulses.
But also the fact that he then goes to Aurelio's.
Yeah, immediately. He doesn't even take a shower. He shows up in the same bloody t-shirt. Yeah.
It's like, I'm covered in blood. Fuck it. I'm taking the bus.
Yeah. Well, because they also slashed the tires of his other car and broke all the windshields and shit.
But he doesn't even think to clean himself up at all. He just goes directly to Aurelio. And Aurelio knows.
When I was watching this movie, even the first time, I was like, you know what? If I ever had a chance to kind of jump into like a production like this and just grab a small part, it would be like one. I would like hope it would be a part like that where you're like, I don't even have a lot of lines, but like what I represent and how he carries himself. Like, I'm not afraid of you, fucker, just because of who your dad is. You know what I mean? And it was amazing.
Aurelio is one of my favorite acts. Like, one of the favorite scenes of this movie is this scene where he's like, I don't work with you. I work with your father. And then
you don't
punch
own me, you little punk.
It's like, one day you might be in charge. Today is not that day.
Yeah. And then, like, when the other guy says, you know, Vigo's not going to like this, he goes, yeah, but he's going to understand.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's holy shit, dude. Who is this John Wick guy?
And then when he calls him.
And Vigo's response is just, oh.
Yeah,
oh.
Like you hear, like, Vigo. So Vigo, all right, like, John Wick basically drove his car to buy dog food for this dog that was a gift from his wife who died. We don't see how she died. And there are moments when they show that little
cancer
building. It almost looked like for a second. But there was one shot where I was like, did she just get taken out? You know what I mean? Like, there's a part where she collapses, and I'm like, yo, did someone take her out? But at that point, we still don't know he's like a badass assassin either. But yeah, the dog was her dying gift to him so he would have somebody to grieve with and not be going through all this alone. So that's part of what, beyond the cruelty of it, that I think was our visceral response, is that, like, oh, fuck, man, that was like a therapy doll, you know? That's like...
Oh, absolutely.
And so...
Like, 2 days.
Yeah,
exactly. Just going back to how awesome this cast is, Dean Winters playing Avi the lawyer.
Yeah, from Oz fame, as Ryan O'Reilly on Oz, if anybody remembers that amazing show on HBO.
Oz, he played Johnny on Rescue Me.
He was also
30 Rock.
Wasn't he the Geico commercial? Like, he was the random...
He's Mayhem?
Mayhem, that's what it was. He's like, hi, I'm Mayhem. I'm a girl jogging. I'm a tree branch about to break.
And for people who might, he was even on 30 Rock there for a while.
I hate to interrupt you, but Alfie Allen... Let me just say one thing about this guy.
He has a very punchable
face. He is the best person to play a little shit.
Yeah, well,
the one I've ever never seen it before.
Do you watch Game? You watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I love Game of Thrones.
I mean, there was a season, right? Like, where Theon was like this.
Yeah,
it was like it almost makes you hate him more in this movie because of that.
And then you go back to Game of Thrones, and you're like, "Fuck you, Theon Greyjoy."
Yeah, although now I guess
I almost feel like Alfie Allen's gay typecast. a little bit in this movie as a result.
I think
that's okay.
But this is also, I think, his only real major film release since the Game of Thrones phenomenon, right? Okay. So he still has a lot of opportunity to make that up.
Joseph.
Yeah. But being in a movie like this with this kind of cast, I mean, that whole John Leguizamo, when, you know, his boys pull their guns and he's like, oh, yeah, you're in my shop? You're going to pull a gun on me?
He grabs the gun and puts it to his forehead like, yeah, come on, do it, motherfucker.
You're
going to
kill me right now or you're going to get the fuck out of my shop. Oh, my God.
Because guess what? John Wick is coming for me and he might kill me anyway.
Yeah, he's like, I might still get killed for letting you go with the car. Like, I should probably, see, that's the thing. Or I probably should have kept the car and said, like, get a fucking ride, you know, but get out of my shop.
Have any other car but this one, because this one is worth my life. You aren't.
But I think he gives him almost like the equivalent.
Yeah,
right?
He gives him a 1970 SS Chevelle, which
so
is like
the, it's close.
Exactly. Yeah, it's same type of engine. It's a big block.
Not quite a 69 Mustang, but you know, don't do it.
It has the same kind of look, though. To someone who's not a car enthusiast, it has that same look of like, whoa. Don't fuck with this guy.
You know? Black with the white racing stripes.
And now at the end, when he's given that one by the owner of the Continental,
the Dodge Charger, the brand new 2015 Dodge Charger,
which he has for all of 3 hours.
But still, in that 3 hours, he does some work.
Yeah.
And,
I mean,
but he doesn't care. I mean, and I guess that's the point: is that it was never about the car.
Right. It's the how fucking dare you? Because, like, how do you not know who I am? And that's part of what it is, too. Like, when he spoke Russian back to him, he should have been like, tell your father I said hello. You know, some shit. But I guess even John didn't know who it was, right?
Yeah.
John,
right. So, he didn't know it was Joseph.
Yeah. But I think, like, the fact that he understood him, like, that also pissed Joseph off a lot.
You gotta
like,
think,
oh,
like,
shit.
You gotta think, like, maybe it's been, like, years. Like, maybe he knew Joseph as a child, but he didn't know him as, like, an adult.
Yeah, Joseph was at boarding school at the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I don't know, like, Viggo, to me, you know, he calls Aurelio, and he's very, like, you know, he's threatening at first. He's like, I understand you struck my son. Would you like to tell me why? You know, and then... Yeah,
John Wick.
He is...
Never mind.
Oh. And he just says, oh, and hangs up. Like, oh. And then when he punches Joseph in the stomach and he pukes, oh, my God. Like, okay. I've never been punched in the stomach like that, and I'm horrified, too.
Really?
He gave him a drink, right?
I'm not kidding. That's exactly how it happens, too. It's like, like they make you drink something, and it's like a tactic. It's like they make you drink something, and then they punch you like right in like the freaking solar plexus. Forget about it. You're on the floor.
Right back up.
It's the worst feeling in the world.
Especially if you're not braced for it. And he obviously was not.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he was like, because he was going, oh, look at this jacket. And, like, I guess Joseph and his crew were just on some job in Atlantic City. Like, they actually, they were on their way back celebrating being all big dick swinging guys. That's kind of, I guess, got to explain why they even went to the lengths they did to get this car. Like, they could, I almost feel like you should be able to just call somebody and say, I want this, and they would bring one. You know, like, there's a certain level you get to that in video games where you're just like, hey, I need a new car. You know, in like Grand Theft Auto or in Saints Row, you're just like, hey, I need a new car, and someone drives a car over for you. Like,
Can we just appreciate, like, this guy just got punched in the stomach. He just puked everywhere. And his dad just threw a towel and said, clean it up.
You piece of shit.
Okay, so Vigo's not the most attached father.
Yeah, and so I guess we're supposed to also read the devil imagery in his red shirt and, like, the castle sort of look to their lair.
Fire and brimstone.
A lot of fire pits,
okay,
yeah.
If we're going to go there, then can we talk about the skull imagery going on with Keanu's beard?
Oh, God, and then having the fact that he's got, like, the Jesus palms on his back with the cross. And did we know what his tattoo says? Should we Google that?
Fortune favors the brave.
Oh, shit, dude. Of course it would say something like that.
Jesus.
That's badass.
I never knew that. Damn. That just made the movie, like, at least.
I swear to God,
better.
I think I almost got hard. Like, that's, oh, shit.
Half a chub?
Like, holy shit.
Are we talking mahogany here?
Yeah. A lot of leather-bound books around here.
Jesus. But actually, my point was that goes to the fact that John Wick probably has military training.
Right. Well, I'm thinking
probably Marine.
We know there's a sequel coming
based
out, and it's called Chapter 2, which I actually I think I can probably get us in touch with somebody who worked on the film, because my brother-in-law's half-brother.
Coming out next year.
Yeah, my brother-in-law's half-brother actually was working with the fight coordination team for that movie.
That's awesome.
He was, like, sending, texting us pictures of him, like, with Keanu walking the dog covered in blood. Like,
yeah, do you think it's almost going to be like a point-blank kind of thing with, was that point-blank or point-break? The hitman goes back to his hometown.
That's Gross Point Blank.
Gross Point Blank. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome movie. Yeah. Awesome movie.
Definitely
future episode. Absolutely.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, but like
another all star.
He goes off to the military to be a military assassin, and then he becomes a private assassin. So, do you think that's almost kind of like?
Yeah,
what
this is actually kind of like a next gen Gross Point Blank without the high school reunion,
and without the comedy.
Well, you know what? It's a badass action sequel to Gross Point Blank. All right, if you think about it, let's retrofit this, and this is a Hollow Knight original concept here. So fuck all you out there. They're trying to think we're japing anybody. This is coming up right now off the dome. But at the end of Gross Point Blank, he decides to retire because he goes back to high school reunion and like finds the long lost love of his life. And here's our Chinese food. Fuck! Okay, or that might be even an outtake. All right, so we're looking at this as a sequel. Like, okay, at the end of Gross Point Blank, he's leaving the town with his love of his life. Her father gave him his blessing to marry her. He's gonna leave his life of assassinating behind. He liquidated his company. He gave his partner their shares. Imagine he turned a whole bunch of that cash into gold bullion and like put it in the cement flooring of his new house he was building in somewhere in like central Jersey, like even probably down in like Monmouth area, like near the beach with all the mansions and shit, and was like trying to just live out his married life. You know, we find out later in the movie he's been out of the game for like 5 years and change. You know, he's probably been married that whole time, and she just passed away like 3 days ago, and this happenstance is what pulls him back in.
Can we also appreciate, like, you can also gauge how long it's been in time frame from the time that Vigo has talked to John, because he gets a book book.
Out of a safe.
And to blow the dust off
it? It has to blow the dust off it, as opposed to, like, just going in his phone and finding the contact.
Yeah, true.
He gets to find it in a phone book.
Well, that's, and again, keeping the devil imagery going with Vigo, like, he's very old world, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a lot of, like, he has more manual shit, and it really ultimately eventually comes down to God versus the or Jesus versus the devil then at the end, right? Because it becomes down to a one-on-one fight between the two of them.
Also the fact that it pulls more than just from Western mythology, right? Because they refer to John Wick as Baba Yaga.
Yeah,
not just the boogeyman, but Baba Yaga, which is the witch in Russian folklore who went around on their chicken legs, threw kids into her pot, and ate them.
Wow.
I'm not the only person who knows that.
I did not know that.
This is not somebody you want to fuck with.
This is who you want to kill, the boogeyman.
Yeah, exactly. Vigo says it. He's like, oh, the boogeyman? Yeah, exactly. Except John is the one you sent to kill the fucking boogeyman.
I mean, it's almost like a graceful way that he describes what John did for them. You know, it's like he was working for them, and then one day he wanted to leave. And he said he gave him an impossible task that no one should have ever been able to complete, and John did it.
The bodies he buried that day are the foundation for what we are now.
That's my God, what did he do?
I want to see that in this movie. He really did
9/11, you know what I'm saying?
All I could think of, though, at that point was like, great, so John Wick is Hercules.
Yeah, exactly. Holy shit.
We gave him an impossible task. I mean, yes, Hercules had 12 of them, but John Wick only got one. So basically, John Wick is a demigod.
Yeah.
Understood.
And I mean, to that effect, when we see him, you know, first they have their conversation where he's like, John, I heard about your wife. My condolences. I'm sorry. You know, he tries to keep it very, like, civil at first. He goes, is there any way we could be civil about this, John? Let's not lose our minds. You know, like, trying to just talk. And John just hangs up. And when,
John never says anything during the entire conversation.
Yeah, it's silent the whole time. And then when Dean Winter says, what did he say? He goes, enough. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh, shit. It's all about
task a crew.
Yeah.
How many do you have?
How many have we got?
Yeah. We're already at send me everyone stage.
First action scene.
Which made me think of, you guys saw Red, right?
Yes.
No, actually. What? I know. Oh, I know.
Dave.
Actually, but this is going to be morbid as fuck, but when my father passed away, I found both copies of the DVDs of the first and second movie that I had given him, and I took them when we were like going
you have to watch
his
them.
Stuff for what okay. we all wanted to take, so I've got them.
Red is a future podcast that you guys should
do. Oh, shit. All right, cool.
Bruce Willis, John Malkovich.
I'm a big Bruce Willis fan, so yes, it will
Morgan
happen.
Freeman. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Bruce Helen Willis Mirren? Was like the original badass for when I was growing up. You know, Bruce Absolutely. Willis was the first one who was like, oh man, maybe I should start lifting weights.
And actually, I almost hate to say this, but I actually prefer young Bruce Willis to older Bruce Willis.
Yeah, well, you mean, well, where do you find older? Because, I mean, this is like, we could say the same thing about we're now preferring older Keanu to younger Keanu. You know what I mean? Like
younger Bruce Willis had more of a mouth on him. And it was more of a smart ass.
So what are we thinking? Like Moonlighting, Blind Date, Bruce Willis
what
versus
you mean original Die Hard.
Die Hard, okay. But
I mean, he was a smart ass, and he ran his mouth constantly. I mean, the whole concept where he was like, just call me Roy.
Yeah, true. But then there was, say, like something like 12 Monkeys, where he had some of the same intensity that like John Wick has, and had the very limited, like, I don't have much to say, but that's because
that was at least a decade after Die Hard.
And now is that where we're talking about starting to be older Bruce Willis? Is
yes.
That, so that's where, okay. See, I still liked Bruce Willis through that period of time. That was also like the Fifth Element period of time.
You yes. know,
that period of time okay. for Keanu was like the Bill and Ted days and like the Parenthoods and nothing to this level at all. Like even I think maybe that's close. Like the Devil's, what was it called? The Devil's Advocate. Point Break might be the yes. closest thing that was any kind of forerunner to something like this. But this
yeah,
is
but
like,
that,
well,
not-
The Matrix too, obviously, but... This is
Point,
like
Point Break was definitely not this level of dark, though.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and even this also feels very comic book to me too, like very or anime even. Like it has
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there's enough blood, enough violence,
absolutely.
And then enough
but
talking
like,
at the same
the
time.
The suits and like the sleekness and the very crisp cleanness of
like the underground, like gothic almost.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
modern
it's
gothic
so.
Era,
a mafia chic, if you
exactly.
will. That's like sort of like going in the tradition of The Godfather and the Scorsese mafia movies, but. It definitely has a more, I think because it's the designer, all the suits are designer. You know, everybody's yeah. wearing designer
well,
stuff.
It was also that sort of that Russian mafia and the new money Russian.
Yeah.
I felt really played into that as well, where like, yes, they have money, but especially if you look at the son's aesthetic, he's got one guy, one henchman who's wearing a suit. The other one's wearing like basically a tracksuit and a baseball
yeah,
cap.
Yeah, a backwards baseball cap. Yeah,
it's like okay, so you have no idea how to spend your money.
It's well, it's yeah. the Three Stooges. You know what I mean? It's like this is like the three rejects who grew up together as probably crime kids. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
it's like if and like they're probably in a respectively similar triad to. His, you know, Yusuf's father and whoever Victor's father and the other dude's fathers were, they were probably like the same
yep.
level each generation. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's
sure.
like, Powder, you've been a pimp since been pimping since been pimping, and you have been assistant pimping since pimping since pimping. Like,
but
I don't know if anybody gets the how I reference,
don't.
But enjoy that one out there.
Oh, man.
But like another like one of the other great scenes of this movie is this scene where the cop shows up and clearly he knows John.
Well, this is after John has taken out a
yeah.
team of however
this is
many
after
people.
After John has
send.
Taken out about I think it was 12,
12.
Guys.
Yeah,
12
we're gonna
14 guys
because he needs a reservation.
Reservation
for
12.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the lingo is amazing.
Yeah. But so this cop shows up and at first you know he's like, hey John, how's it going? Noise complaint? Yeah, noise complaint. Then he looks behind him, sees a dead body. And he does something that a cop doesn't normally do, like when he's trying to be a cop.
Takes his hand
he
off
takes
his gun?
No, he takes the hat
yeah.
off of his head and holds
yeah.
it to his chest and says, you working again?
He's like,
no,
yeah.
I'm just working some stuff
but
out.
But he's very like he's almost like, hey,
yeah,
John,
but please
you,
notice that his hand stays far away from his weapon
yeah.
at all times.
Yeah, and he's just like, yeah, you know what, John? You have a good night. He's like, this isn't worth my life right now.
Well, it's
whatever
also,
this is, I have no, I don't care.
I imagine John probably gives him like a gold coin for Christmas. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just like, hey, my wife made this fruitcake for you, and here's a card.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Exactly.
You know, like, okay, here it is, the John Wick kill count. We'll throw this up on the Facebook page.
Another thing that, I mean, maybe some other people may not find this fascinating, but like as a gun nut, the pistols that he uses, they're Heckler & Koch P-30Ls. All right, it's a very weird firearm. It's a very unknown firearm. But Each of those firearms is $3,000 a piece.
Oh, wow.
Plus the compensator that he uses on there, the compensator silencer that's at the end of it, is about $2,000 each as well.
Now, these are the ones that were in that giant case. Like,
yes.
Right.
As Viggo is explaining to us, because his son still doesn't understand when he gets punched in the stomach. Like, wait, what? I thought we did a good job in Atlantic City. I thought you were happy with us. What is going on? He goes, God damn it, that's not even what I'm talking about. Yeah. And he starts talking like and tells the story of John Wick. As that's happening, John is smashing open the cement foundation of his garage, and he opens this chest that's full of gold coins, guns, a blade, and a bunch of grenades. And I'm like, okay, so he's ready for the zombie apocalypse, for real.
Yeah, this guy is obviously ready. But, you know, it's just... Was like most of the hitmen may use, like, a Colt 45.
Also, if you think of... you did see Mr. and Mrs. Smith, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. The armory in the shed.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Okay.
And everywhere, like, even didn't... What's his name? Vince Vaughn, didn't he have, like, a stash of weapons in his house, too, in that movie? Like, everybody...
Not to the same extent, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, they were like the undercover spy people of the neighborhood.
Here comes the clean crew.
And now, this appearance, too. Let's name drop this guy. That's David Patrick Kelly, right? Playing, where is it? I gotta open the full cast here on IMDb. But he is probably best known for people who don't know him by name like I do because of Twin Peaks. He's the guy who's sitting there going... Warriors, come out and play.
Something
Warriors, come out and play. Yeah, he is awesome. He's Charlie, the head of the waste disposable team. They're like
who also played President Truman in Flags of Our Fathers.
They're like the serve pro of the organized crime world. They're like it never happened.
Something that I just noticed looking at the IMDb, Lance Reddick, the guy who plays the hotel manager, he's also named under Karen. If you think of like biblical references, Karen the boatman, the guy who buries the dead across the River Styx.
Wow.
And into the underworld.
And you give him underworld. A gold coin to do so. Like you give him a gold coin to stay there.
Yeah,
wow.
The coins on the eyes. Yep. His name is Karen in the official cast list.
On IMDb. That's the first time you've been this helpful, IMDb. We're happy for you. Thank you. Sponsor us.
And Lance Reddick, who you might know from Fringe
and Lost.
Or The Wire.
And definitely The Wire. I think that's what people probably love him most for out there, but I love him for Fringe and for his time on Lost, his stint on Lost.
Jumping forward a little bit, there's actually a second Wire cast member who I'm not finding at the moment. Crap. Where was he? The guy who played Charlie,
in John Wick?
Yes, in John Wick.
Not Charlie, but Ian McShane? Who are we talking about?
No, Ian McShane I don't think was ever in The Wire.
Oh, no. All right, so we're looking for someone else who was in The Wire from this?
Yes.
Because I didn't watch The Wire.
The black actor who was supposed to be watching.
Harry? Clark Peters?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my, that guy I felt horrible for. You know what I mean? It was like, what the fuck, dude? See, that's the other thing I want to bring up at some point here.
Clark Peters.
Because,
he played Harry, yes.
Yeah. And I'm actually, as we're watching in the background here, I'm at the scene where Viggo now puts a hit out on John, and he goes to someone who we met earlier in the film during John's wife's funeral, the character played by Willem Dafoe. Marcus, who, I mean, the only guy who you could tell who he is by the profile shadow. Like, it's like, first it's the shadowy figure, and it's like, oh, who's that watching Keanu Reeves over that grave? And then he turns, I'm like, oh, it's the fucking Green Goblin.
And I don't know if this was intentional or not, but Marcus means warlike in Latin.
What? Oh, yeah, Boondock Saints as well. Yeah, Evan's getting food. Yeah, he does it.
I don't know if you caught that or not, but Marcus means warlike.
Oh, wow. Dude, like, I didn't know. Oh, and there's, I guess there's all these names probably are kind of going to have.
There are a lot of these names. That
like Aurelio and the fact that Helen is his wife, who is played by Bridget. I didn't even realize that was Bridget Moynihan.
Yep.
Because
she doesn't show up for very long.
Yeah, she has a few like repeated moments in his mind and in his phone.
I thought what was also interesting was they decided to name the hotel the Continental, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think of was Dashiell Hammett in the Continental Op.
Wow, dude, going to the film noir Pulp Fiction days.
Well, but it was it has that kind of updated feel to it. Well, that could very well have been that kind of.
And it comes from the same thing with like the suits and the sleekness and the sort of like refined. It was like the very 1920s
prohibition.
Yeah, the boardwalk empire almost, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's at the same time that it's got all that, I think it's also carried through in the choreography of how he fights and how he uses the bodies of people as weapons. Like, it's like John isn't even looking at these people as adversaries. You know, they're more obstacles that he has to get around. And so it's very like a dance that he does through all of them while like shooting all
the
at the
pistols
same time.
Are like an extension of his arm.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I mean, I think part of that is with, I mean, the influx of MMA into pop culture. I think there's some of that going on. If you look at the John Wick stances during the fight scenes, mm-hmm. he takes a very boxer stance in his shooting stance, which just shows the amount of work that Keanu Reeves ended up doing.
Yeah.
And so I think the bit of trivia is like he did 90% of his own stunts in this.
Yeah. Have you seen any of this stuff on YouTube or even in the extras on the Blu-ray of like him training to do all this stuff?
Yeah, that's crazy. Like he was trained by Navy SEALs and PJ guys, like Special Forces guys. Like you can see him. He's just it's like go, bop, 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 and he's just
like he's been 8 hours a day doing nothing but training for this.
And it's like between the guns and then the fight choreography with it was almost like it wasn't Yo Wei Ping. We should probably be Googling this as well. I don't like to just the Yo Wei Ping was from The Matrix, but and so I guess that's partly why. Keanu was like so quick to take to all this stuff.
Well,
but
the director Chad Stahelski was somebody that did a lot of the stunts for Keanu and acted as a stunt double for a lot of his films.
I've got the stunt players. Where's the stunt coordinator? Where is the person who came up with all this? Well, the team, the stunt performer. So, well, we'll find it, and we'll fight coordinator Jonathan Eusebio. I actually think that might be who my brother-in-law's half brother knows. What's it called? I will find out in case that's a fallacy I just released on the air. But they showed them like they would build sort of like these sort of mock hallways and corners out of mats, and that's how he would like roll around and like throw somebody around a column, shoot other people, and then kill that person, or you know, the sneak around, grab the guy, stab him up through the bottom of his chin into his head, like all the intense I'm killing you and my face is an inch from your face and I'm looking into your eyes as I'm killing
that
you.
That bath scene though.
but he also John Wick is also the economy of movement. I mean, there's no wasted bullets, right?
Yeah,
and it's all you know, two to the chest, one to the head.
Yeah,
two to the chest, one to the head.
And it's all. I mean, and if he can get it, if he can get a headshot without doing the two in the chest first, he'll do it. You know, what I mean, there's a lot of pink, what they call pink mist all over this movie.
There's all, you know, except for that one big brocious brick shit house Russian guy who stands up and fights him in the
comes
in
out of the pool.
Scene.
Yeah.
Bop, 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 and then shoots him in the face.
But he also stabs him in the shoulder first, which I didn't see until I watched it this time. Because he's got the knife out, and he was doing the stealth thing. So, all right, now we're jumping around. But basically, this becomes a revenge plot from that point on. After we get the story of John Wick, after we get the little shit kicking this whole thing off into motion, it's just John is a freight train fucking up the world of these people. Like, it's like his reappearance is like creating reverberations that are felt from the first second somebody sees him and is like, holy shit. Yeah. And I think it's from when he walks into Aurelio's shop. Like, all the guys working on cars stop what they're doing and watch him walk into Aurelio. Because I bet they all think he's going to kill Aurelio. You know what I mean? They're all like, oh my God.
And they're all about to be like, okay, he's going to kill Aurelio. Yep.
It's like we're all going to fall. Like, he's going to kill Aurelio first, and then it's going to be the rest of us.
Because we're standing here watching it happen, It's insane. But also the fact that he dresses up in the black, like it's black on black on black. You know, black black vest on a black shirt with a black tie and black jacket. He's basically death. He's personified death.
Yeah.
But it also falls into the whole, you know, he is still mourning his wife as well.
Yeah,
so he's in mourning black.
Good call. And that's supposed to explain a lot when he says all of his lines are very short, cryptic lines. You know what I mean? Everything's very vague and ambiguous. I guess that's supposed to be in case they're ever being recorded, you know, but, you know, he just says...
Wait, he bothers to say anything at all.
It's like, it's personal, you know, and then he walks away and Ian McShane's like, okay, here's where the guy is. You know what I mean? And
but I can't actually tell you where the guy is. I can write it on a napkin.
And he also is like, son, have you thought this through, and I mean chewed it down to the bone. Like, those kind of lines! You're just like, this is one of those movies that just makes you feel cool watching it. You know, it's like Usual Suspects. You're just like, classy movie.
But, you know? But it was also, I mean, it was really weird watching Ian McShane drinking a martini, because my first experience with Ian McShane was Deadwood.
Right, right.
Oh, he's drinking the whiskey straight from the bottle. Or
if you wipe that bottle, I'll cut your throat from here.
It's like, you know, that's the image I'm used to. Like, wait, he's drinking a martini, and he's looking a little bit of feet.
Yeah, but he but also...
But Nolan's badass for it.
It's when he speaks with those intonations of like, Jonathan, I thought you were the one tasked with doling out the beatings, not receiving them. You're just like, whoa, this is like a dad. This is like, this is someone from such the old guard that he built a hotel that caters to criminals.
Yeah. it's like, Vigo thinks she's a player. She's
yeah.
not a player.
Yeah. And so that's kind of almost like part of what his whole situation is. I mean, Vigo is an interesting, I guess, antagonist in a lot of ways because he's so cowardly, you know what I mean? But he's so also persistent. You know, it's like
right.
he's constantly throwing other people at it, but he's always still trying to protect himself ultimately. I mean, he does what I always thought kind of should have been what he did in the beginning was give John his son immediately. Like, look, dude, I don't know what the hell that was all about. I you know, I was trying to raise him to take over my family business one day, but clearly I can't let shit like this go unanswered. So if you would just please not kill him, but just maybe beat the living shit out of him or something till maybe he has a limp or some shit like that. Like, I could see him negotiating a limp. You know, he could better...
Yeah, maybe just blow half his jaw.
Better
like
call Saul
really
this thing.
Scar.
Yeah, you know, make it a sexy scar, though, because he likes to fuck chicks a lot. So if it's something he could use, I could sell him on why it's okay we're doing this. You know,
like, you know, if you have to take an eye, that's okay.
Son can live with one eye, you stupid fucking idiot.
He's like, either John takes your eye or I'm going to.
Yeah.
And we'll then send it to John, and maybe we'll call this whole thing equal. Like a dog and eye, that's kind of the same thing, right?
But even it's funny, too, because when, so now, you know, we're meeting all these characters as he's getting back out into that world, and when he gets to the Continental, he makes his reservation for 2 days, we run into this, my favorite person from the movie, Adrian Pilecki, as Miss Perkins. I was just like, yo,
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'd probably let her kill me, too. Like, she's so fucking
like
hot.
Black Widow-esque.
So hot, man. So hot. It's insane. You probably know why I'm so into her. But, it's fucking crazy.
Really? You know?
Yeah, I know, right? Damn. But I also love this bartender chick.
Yeah, the bartender chick. Oh, my God. With the 50s yeah. hair
and
then,
that's
like,
why
tattoos.
I think a prequel would be such an awesome idea for it, if not the next movie, a movie after it. Like, show the John Wick that did the amazing thing the Russian guy talked about and have her be like she's crushing on him the whole time.
You can clearly see that there is something between the two of them at one point.
Like, she's
point.
Wanted him forever.
Yeah.
But I also think she's probably an assassin in training as well. You know what I mean? Like,
or she was an assassin and is now just a humble bartender.
But, like, I think that's kind of like how this place would probably, like, I imagine that's how this hotel would work. It's like, this is for where all the, you know, the street urchin ruffian, you know, orphans kind of get pulled in and trained.
There was definitely a history there between Ms. Perkins and John Wick as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think there's, and they're, like, they trade a lot of triangular looks while they're in the bar here. But John is, like, oblivious to all that shit. And I think that is kind of part of the only Achilles heel. I mean,
revenge is clouding his mind.
Even the bartender said, like, I've never seen you like this before. And he goes, what do you mean? And she goes, vulnerable, you know? And it's like, oh, shit, yeah. You are, like, a killing machine, but you are kind of taking scars every fight you get into.
Yeah.
He's got blinders on.
And he said, he even said to Winston, the Ian McShane character, oh, yeah, I'm rusty, I guess, you know? And it's like, what, 5 years out of the game? 5 years out of the game, but...
Yeah, but it does not take him long to knock that rust off.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know. To me, I'm like, this is him rusty. Imagine the movie where he's not rusty. Which, from what I had heard,
second movie.
From what I had heard about the fight coordinating going on, it was like whatever this movie was, maximize that by like 1,000, and it's gonna be the next movie. And you're just like, oh geez, can we even handle that?
The Red Circle Club and bath scene is probably one of the best scenes in
it's
recent
cinema history. It's a signature scene of the movie. Absolutely,
yeah. Absolutely.
This is like the Heat bank robbery scene. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Definitely, I think. This is the kind of thing where if someone was really giving you that, I don't watch Keanu movies kind of bullshit.
Watch.
You're
this.
Just like, watch this 5 minutes right here. And then you're like, okay.
See, I would even just argue, like, watch the first 30 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
Before even the fights start.
I mean, actually,
the first 30 minutes of this.
The house assault by the strike team that Vigo sends out ends at the 32-minute mark. It's the conclusion of Act 1 of the film.
Yep.
You know, and that, but if that, by that point, you're not convinced that it's... I mean, because Point Break, dudes, I think Point Break is supposed to be the thing that made it... any of the other bullshit that Keanu ever did okay, right? Like, we weren't supposed to give him too much shit over The Watcher. In fact, I love that movie, you know what I mean? But it's like, I could see, or I just know from growing up, there was that whole, you mention his name to some people, they're like, oh, fuck Keanu, and I'm like, yo.
Yeah, okay, but to be fair, the Matrix sequels did not help him.
True, but that first one is amazing still.
Absolutely. And I would actually argue the, I think it was in the third Matrix, where he goes through... where they show him on all the different screens going through all the different emotions. It was like, see,
that's the end of
Keanu
the second
can
one.
Show emotion.
It's the end of the second one when he's talking to the architect.
Okay,
in
so yes, that
room.
It's like, look, he can actually show emotion. Get over yourself.
And I think he's showing like a almost like a the level of what like a Jedi Knight's kind of gentlemanliness is. You know, like even when that guy is like, "Do I know you?" I'm thinking so. Hey, Harry. Hey, John. How's it going? Like. Great. You keen on owning on earning a coin? You know, it's like very like people don't talk like this anymore. There's a certain almost chivalry to it. It's pretty awesome.
Well, and he goes out of his way not to kill people he views as innocents.
Like even, this guy, Joseph.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, when he lets him the best part is when he turns and says, "Thank you, Mr. Wick." You know what I mean? Like he's like, "Why don't you take the night off?" Thank you. You know, he knows that that means you're letting me live. Like, oh my God, no one else is going
to
live.
It's like, even if Vigo might kill me later for this, I get to live right now.
And that is definitely something that I've always remembered, like, as was the signature thing from Payback. When everyone's like, I can't tell you, they'll kill me. He goes, what do you think I'm going to do? You know what I mean? Oh, it's just God. Like, oh, dude. Have you not seen Payback?
No, I've never seen
we
that.
Might watch Payback after we record this episode. Okay. Uh-oh. Payback. Hell yeah.
Parker, which actually got remade recently with, I think, Jason Statham.
Jason Statham
as Parker.
See, the thing is, though, like they all have their own sort of, like, you have an expectation of a certain level of style because of who the main character is. And I think, like, it's like the same thing we were talking about with Jack Reacher, you know, where you're like, oh, it's Tom Cruise. You know, it's like, even if it's badass, I'm not going to be able to take this seriously. I think Matt Damon was the first one to really be able to break that with the Jason Bourne movies, where it was like, Good Will Hunting is in a spy movie, and then you're like watching it like, oh, shit, that was amazing. Like, that was fucking awesome. Like,
okay, so yeah, he can be an action hero.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that now.
All right, so he's drowning people.
Yeah, he's drowning Victor, I think his name is. Yeah, it's Victor.
Every once in a while, we just like look at the screen, and I'm like, hold on a second, what? What just happened there? There's
you know,
blood.
You can drown in a cup of water. Well, that just proved that.
It's almost like, too, like when Victor was like getting ready to like, he's like brushing his teeth, and he looks in the mirror, and the guy that was staying there is gone, and there's just a smear of blood on the wall. And he's like, wait, what just happened? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, John's there. That's kind of how I feel. Like also, I'm like looking up stuff here. I'm like, okay, it was this guy, and then, oh, dude, there's blood all over the wall
the
now.
The song that's playing during this scene in the background, while he's stalking in the background, is the perfect song.
I love that song. I have it on my iTunes. Shit, if I wasn't posting the John Wick kill counter to our Facebook page right now, I'd be able to look that song up. So I'll get back to that. But let's keep talking about how it's like they do a lot with the shadows. And the first time we saw it, same color scheme, if you want to even talk about that, is with the cop outside the
door.
Yeah,
like the purple and the blue.
Glass, and you're just seeing the flashing red and blue lights. Well, the Red Circle Club has a very similar color scheme going on, and we're seeing a lot done with shadows here, too.
What I also think is interesting John Wick is deliberately going for point-blank shots, right?
Well, first he's just using the knife and being silent. And
but once he's actually in the club, he's not going for long-range shots. He's not trying. He's doing his best to minimize casualties.
Yeah, especially
for people who shouldn't be killed.
And especially when you have like the Alfie Allen character being like a little bitch and throwing any innocent person he can. Like, first he grabs one of the girls they were just chilling with in the pool and uses her as a human shield.
Yep.
You know, and then but to that point, there was a moment in that club where John could have taken the shot.
Yeah.
And could have ended the movie right there. You know
but
what
it
mean?
Would have hurt somebody else. And then,
right, exactly.
Another great
even
scene.
Even the pool? Because he was just standing there. Like it seemed like everybody had kind of backed away. But.
Yeah, but with the distance and the lighting and everything else, it was not a sure thing.
Yeah, and so instead he shoots the guy he's got like on the ground.
Yeah, he points the gun at Joseph, and then while still looking at him, brings the gun back to this guy at the back of this guy's head and pulls the trigger.
This is like
if
one of the
most. That doesn't make you shit your pants. I don't know.
Yeah, one of the most brutal movies, really, you'll ever watch. You know, even when he stabbed that guy through the bottom of the chin, like right up into his. Oh, and like stared into his eyes as he's falling to the ground.
Literally death.
Yeah. Like, and it's sort of like that's the one track. Like, even. I don't know. Where I was going to go with the friend thing when we started bringing up Marcus is that there are a couple moments in this movie where he absolutely would not have succeeded, right? And I think in all movies like this, there is kind of that moment as a trope is where the hero is kicking all this ass, but he does at some point get cornered, and if it wasn't for this other person who came along, they would get killed. And I feel like Harry was one of those people, but Marcus ultimately is definitely one of those
absolutely.
People.
Saves his ass.
And it's like, it's hard to kind of 100% say that it's all John Wick when you have that kind of moment of revelation.
Well,
you know, like,
I mean, part of it as well is that you don't want, I mean, if the character just turns into Superman, right, and is able to shrug off bullets, where's the tension?
Right.
Where's that kind of suspense that, okay, how is this actually going to end? Because this movie could end with a mutual kill, right? This could end in a very Shakespearean way.
Like Heat, yeah.
Well, or almost like each other. Or Viggo and John Wick kill each other at the end, right?
Right, right.
So you kind of want to build tension, like, so this might not end with John Wick surviving. And I think that's okay. Having that kind of tension is a good thing.
And we actually are sort of, you know, tease-prepped for that with the way the movie opened, with him crashing the car and spilling out of it, and this is all supposed to be... I think you forget, because of the pace of the movie throughout the whole thing, that, yeah, this has all happened already. Like, this is all...
Right.
No matter what, he at least survives to crash that car.
Yeah.
But he looked like such shit when that happened. We're like, whoa, dude. And even with other people helping him and winding up getting themselves killed in the process, he still came that close to almost not doing it. You know what I mean?
And Carol is a... He is a huge part of that too. So, like, the one guy that's protecting Yosef, who ends giving as good as he gets against John Wick. I mean, he's the only one that does, though, right?
Yeah, that guy who I kept saying, yeah, he's like John Wick 2.0. He's like the Russian mob's John Wick.
Yeah, the Kirill.
And he was probably, like, jealous as fuck that John Wick did so much damage just to found them that he always thought, oh, my God, if I ever get a chance to face off against
him,
it's fucking over. And that's probably why he's trained himself to the level to be able to be the only one. He's the roadblock. He's the thing that stops John at this club. He's
absolutely.
Yeah.
Two things. One is, like, when he's moving through the club, like, slowly walking after Yosef, and Yosef is just turning back, running away, and, like, everybody else is, like, kind of just moving on with their life. It's almost like death is coming after you.
But just you. You can't hide.
Just you. You can't hide. And then the second is, like, going back to what you said before about how he might be military trained or might be former CIA. The way he walks at the club, like, holds the gun at ready is very military, like, very tactical. Like, not like a street thug just walking around.
Right, right, yeah. And it's...
very calculated, very...
I mean, he gets up from... I mean, he takes hits. Obviously... He gets
stabbed under the vest.
The fact that he even wears the bulletproof vest is like, look, at some point I'm going to get shot. Like, there's no way I could dodge every bullet. And he takes, like, three to the chest and is still and keeps shooting back while he's still in the process of being stunned from it. You know?
Man of will.
Yeah, which you would not understand. You would never understand.
And then he goes and sees the doctor, and he gets stitched up with no anesthetic, except for a little bit of whiskey.
Which, like, there's this funny, like, little interchange with the hotel manager when he comes back from the club, and he's like, is the doctor in? He goes, yes, 24/7, we'll send him right up. He's like, great. How good's your laundry? He goes, no laundry is that good. And he goes, didn't think
we'll get you a new shirt.
Yeah, didn't think so. And then he says, I thought not. And then as he's walking, he goes, might I suggest a drink? Some bourbon, maybe? And he goes, yes, please, send some up. You know, it's like, it's all part of, I remember this from the John Wick file we have for whenever you stay here. We always made sure we had this in the room and that you'd probably need the doctor at some point. And then this. So, yeah, it's all
this
good.
This type of bourbon.
Yeah, it's all good.
It's that very Civil War era-esque medicine.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's like, even the doctor, everybody's so frank about everything. He goes, are you done or do you still have work? He goes, all right, well then here, take these. Try to keep your spinning or twisting to a minimal, otherwise you'll keep tearing your stitches open. You know, it's like, I just did all this work. And then actually later that night it gets fucked up because that's when Miss Perkins breaks continental rules. and goes for John. And even like Viggo said to what was Dean Winter's character?
Break continental.
Hey, Avi.
Avi. He says, you know, because Avi said we have a contact over there, and that's, I guess, when we're supposed to realize, because it was after Perkins gave him that dirty look at the club, and then all of a sudden they get a call.
Okay, was I the only one who thought that Avi's character was a throwback to kind of the counselor from Carlito's Way? Sean Penn's character?
Yeah, yeah, Sean Penn. And also a little bit not as refined as the Sean Penn character, but, you know, if you saw Man on Fire, it was the... oh God, Mickey Rourke character, like the lawyer for the family that the girl got kidnapped from. It's like the scumbag who's like involved with all the shit, you know. But is also
Kleinfeld, who was Carlito's way. Sorry.
And what's it called? The fact that he said, you know, we have a contact over there. And goes, if they're willing to break continental rules, double the fee. Like, it's like,
yeah, but you have to wonder, like, even if she was successful, you knew that he was going to find her.
She wasn't thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Not at all.
But at the same time, too, she would have been successful if Marcus hadn't, like, shot through the window just to kind of be like, hey, buddy, someone's sneaking in your room.
Wake up!
Sneaking in your room there, dude. Yeah, her, the way they get her at the end is fucking awesome. That's one of my favorite scenes of this movie, too. I mean, she's gorgeous in this movie. It really kills me that she didn't make it to be in John Wick 2, because I kind of like the idea of all these characters still being around. But if anything, from watching Game of Thrones, you know, like, just expect to lose everybody.
Yeah.
But when she walks up and Ian McShane just comes... I always thought that was somewhere outside. That's actually in, like, the
whole... Central Park, I thought.
Is it? Because
yeah, Central Park.
Then the crew comes to clean up right after it with all the stuff. Yep. Like, they have them... The Serve Pro guys are just on call, yeah, ready to go.
Ian McShane basically called them in advance saying, hey, by the way, we're getting your body pickup.
When? Yeah.
Oh, about 5 minutes from now.
And he's like, your membership to the Continental Hotel by thine own hand has been revoked. And even he said to John earlier, he's like, you know, there is no business can be conducted on this property unless under heavy penalty. You know,
it's like, I don't care who you are. You can be John Wick. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, as long as you're the one being attacked, not the one doing the attacking, it's fine.
Exactly.
You'll get a pass. And I mean...
You don't... Basically, it's don't shit where you eat.
Yeah, yeah. The ultimate. And everybody, like even the other guys, like, you broke the rules. You're no lady. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. Instantly, you're not on our level. And she's tough as nails, but he beats the fuck out of her. Like, she's crawling out of that room. He's, like, bleeding everywhere he could be bleeding
and
from.
And this is after he got his, like, after he took his licks at the Red Circle.
Yeah,
you know, he's all fucked up still.
And she's punching the stitches, like the fresh stitches.
And you can see the blood flying away from it.
And then she does those knee kicks. When she does that, like, leg wind-up knee kick into him, I'm like, oh, dude. Like, you know how much that's gotta hurt? Holy shit. This movie is just insane.
But I mean, he is John Wick, and he fights through the pain.
Don't light this wick. It'll burn you away.
Jesus Christ.
Not to be
Keanu Reeves, Willem Dafoe, and I don't know who else. Who else was big
enough Alfie Allen.
Alfie Allen. And featuring...
Well, Michael Nyquist.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I'll give you that. Dean Winters, probably.
Dean Winters?
Adrian Palicki might have gotten...
The guy or the progressive guy?
Geico guy. Oh, Geico. No, yeah, it was progressive.
Mayhem.
Yeah.
Mayhem.
Yeah.
Mayhem.
Yeah, we mentioned that earlier.
John Leguizamo.
True. All these people were getting... It was Kevin Nash playing Francis outside the club. He was the guard that John Wick lets go.
And you know that what happened was they said, hey, by the way, we're making this film starring Keanu Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the script. And everybody's like, how much you pay me? It doesn't matter.
I'll do this. This will be like 2 days of shooting. I'll do this. You know, it's like it's Keanu who's got to film for 3 months with all these fight sequences. And like the rest of us are in like three scenes where we talk for a minute and then we all pull out guns. Let's do this. Let's do it.
Here she comes.
Oh God, dude. Crawling this away. Chick is so fucking gorgeous. Oh my God. This is driving me insane. I might not be able to ever watch this movie again, guys. This might be
That's a lie.
Might be the last viewing just for the Hollow Knight Network.
That's a dirty lie.
Oh my God!
I might watch it alone later, but
yeah, probably.
Dave will be in his bunk.
Yeah, of course, with the iPad. Like, this is it. So I think, like, to me, like, the club was probably the last. Like, it was the last close quarters battle, because everything else after this, he goes to the church. He takes out, like, she gives up the church for her life, actually. Like,
yeah.
Vigo's stronghold of information and money. It's basically after this, Vigo is done. Like, the foundation that John had found, helped, you know, build. Laid for them, he smashed that shit up like his garage floor.
It to the ground.
And even, like, once he goes in there and he takes out, like, all the fake... There's, like, three real parishioners in this church.
Yeah.
Everybody else is, like, an undercover mafia hitman who's just there.
Including the priest.
In case somebody...
Including the priest!
Just in case somebody comes along to rob them, it's like, yep, there's an army hidden in there. It's not gonna happen for you, bro. Just, you're dead. That was, like, headshot central when he does all that.
This guy... I felt really bad for. I feel like they didn't give like enough of this. Of
well,
like,
that's what I'm saying. Prequel, we could see all these people yeah. as younger
I don't know,
characters.
I forget who that actor is.
Harry, that's the
Harry,
guy from
yeah.
The
Harry,
Wire.
It's like they didn't give him enough screen time. I feel I would have loved to have seen something more with Harry because he seems like such an actually cool character.
Like I could see
when
him
he's getting dressed later. Like the suit that he's wearing is very Southern, like gentleman.
Like he could be like a former detective who went to the other
yeah,
side.
Exactly.
You know what
actually,
I mean?
Evan, you ever watch The Wire?
No, I have not.
Okay, I think it's a little bit before Eva's time, to be honest with you. Yeah, but it's definitely
I know, but you would still really enjoy. And he is not one of the central characters, but he plays a significant role with that. And he is just that classic civil character to a T.
Damn.
And even when he's getting killed, you're just like, oh, come on, man. Why?
Him? Why?
Yeah.
And that's also to let you know, probably all of John's friends get killed. Actually, it's funny, too, because when they catch John, like, he goes through the church, he burns the shit up. That's him setting a trap for Vigo, because then he shows up with his goons, and John kills most of them, but they finally use, like, a
Kirill.
Car. They finally use a car to
gets him.
Slow him down.
To hit him.
Slams their car into another car to hit it into John, which...
And he goes flying.
Yeah, to
like,
be honest, like, he should be dead. I actually think that was a major... That was, like, the one moment of CG in the whole movie where they borrowed the Matrix CG and had... It was like a fake Keanu gets thrown across the frame of the film. But yeah, and then this is, again, another moment where he would not have survived by himself.
Like what you said before with, what's that movie?
Payback.
Payback. Yeah. He was like, oh, Vigo will kill me. Then he turns around and beats the shit out of a guy with the butt of his rifle.
And then
shoots him in the
guy.
Face. And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like
that. Yeah, well, that's definitely, that to me, I feel like is a almost a shout out to Payback, really. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, and that's, I don't know. How do you guys feel about this where there's sometimes movies that like, if you didn't know the things that influenced it and you watch it, you're just like, this is amazing. And it stands alone as this like epic thing. And then you go and watch all these movies that then you, when you rewatch this movie, you're like, oh my God, this is literally a mishmash. I mean,
well, I guess the question, so like looking at this movie, okay, I'm a fan of Westerns,
mm-hmm.
for example, and I can see a lot of Western type of influence. I know it's a crime movie. I know it's a film. It's a bit of a noir movie,
mm-hmm.
but it still has that kind of that Western gunfighter movie feel to it, to
mm-hmm.
me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can appreciate it for that fact.
Yeah,
his whole, you know, his life gets brought down around him, and he goes and takes out that West, the other gang, and burns down the gang. Like
rogue loner.
If you want a different example, Unforgiven.
Yep. I was say yeah. The rogue.
Where you have the monster who ends up going to raise pigs and mm-hmm. is dragged back into the life with his objections, right?
Yeah.
And he ends up becoming that monster again. I mean, I feel like it's that kind of movie.
And it's up until this moment where he gets caught, where it's like the last moment where a friend has to save him. And it's Vigo giving him first the line about, you know, our pasts always catch up with us. That's why God took your wife from you. Like, no matter how good you think you are by getting out of this, like, you still owe for all the things you did. And he goes, you know, you and I are cursed. And then, like, Wick goes berserk. And I think this is where he finally owns the idea that he is back. And
like,
that maybe he really never
left. You
really
get to see, him, like, emotion out of him. Like,
absolutely.
That you That's can it. Give me your son or you can die screaming next to him. Like, you're like, whoa!
It's like, holy and you can shit. Feel like almost no other actor could have brought that, like, pain that you really, like, you can see other actors, like, acting, but Keanu Reeves is an actor who's, like, really experienced hardship in his life. His wife
Very
died.
So.
His best friend died. Everybody who he's ever, like, really loved or trusted has died around him. And, like, you can see, like, his passion and his emotion coming out in that. He's like, you took that from me, burned it from me, killed it from me.
Yeah.
Like I said, So you took the monster who was grieving in the cave mm-hmm. and decided to poke it with a stick.
Yeah, but it's
that because, was your brilliant move.
And I mean, it was blatant ignorance. You mean the nobody? That nobody isn't a nobody. That is John Wick. You know what I mean? And so
Do you know what you just did? Do you really know what you...
Like, you actually destroyed our entire empire. Like, it's actually going to come crumbling down because you stole somebody's car.
I should just pay the government to bomb his house right now and hope to God he dies.
Yeah, because...
The only other thing I can think of would be equivalent would be, like, if you're looking at in sort of the comic book universe, if you shot at Wolverine...
Uh-huh.
and hoped it would stick.
Like the guy who shot him with the adamantium bullet, but instead of hitting him in the head, he hits him in the shoulder, and Wolverine's just like, oh my fucking God.
It's like, are you really... Not only that, but you then go ahead and kill his girlfriend.
And then, in front of him. And then he just Michael Myers stalks your way for a second before running into a berserker rage. And this is it. And the thing is, too... The imagery here, going back to the tattoos on his back, they're in a closed down wing of the church. The way the windows are, there's paper over the windows, and it's not until that bullet comes through to save him, like a ray of light from above, like a Deus Ex Machina,
divine intervention. God favors. Yeah, exactly.
Like,
thank
holy
you.
Crap, did that come full circle now that I know what that tattoo says?
Wow. The hand of God is coming down upon you.
Oh my God. And see, like, now there's videos on YouTube that'll tell you this is all profane because it's saying that killing in the name of, that God condones killing as long as it's for the revenge of a lost loved one or something. I mean, I don't know.
I could say something about Christian crusades, but.
Yeah, sure. Right. Truth.
Talk to a guy who went to Catholic school for 10 years.
Evan, I had 9 years of Catholic grammar and followed by 4 years of Jesuit high school.
Ooh!
Okay, so if you want to have that talk, we can have that talk.
Yeah,
that's going to be a great talk.
That might be part of Hollow Nine Weekly, maybe. Maybe we could do that, because...
I'd be happy to have that conversation with you, but this might not be the time.
Yeah, no, there you go. Like, another great scene is coming up where, like, he does eventually, you know, what's his name, saves him. Marcus shoots and saves him. And
like a guardian angel always watching with that sniper rifle.
Well, actually, I think the best part about that was that during the course of the movie, you're never quite sure where Marcus is on the spectrum, right?
And like
is he helping John? Is he trying to kill John?
Viggo personally tells Marcus and says, I want to offer this to you face to face. We killed John Wick for $2 million. And then he goes, is the contract exclusive? And he says, no, it's open. And I think when he says, consider it done, that's you know, at this point, it's confirmed here that Marcus decided, oh, I got to watch John's ass.
Yeah,
like,
I
know John is. I just saw John at the funeral. He's fucked up. He's not going to be able to do
it. It also notes that Marcus was the only one that was shown from his previous life at the funeral.
And he
kept himself apart, mm-hmm. absolutely. But he was definitely there for John. He wasn't like. And John's like, even like, why are you here? Yeah. You're going to take me out because you're worried about what I might do?
Checking up on an old friend.
Yeah, but like. Another thing is, like, I almost feel like that was calculated. Like, if he had said, yes, it's exclusive, he probably would have turned it down and then went and warned John
right.
watched his ass for him. But now that he knows that it's open, he's, like, almost a ruse, like, yeah, I'll take the contract.
Yeah.
In parentheses, fuck you, buddy, he's my best friend.
Yeah, seriously, you're a douche for even asking me this.
But,
because you have to think about it, like, in that line of work, how many people can you actually count as friends?
Exactly. And you know, either that, A, they're going to die, or B, they're going to... try to kill you one day.
At some point, you're going to end up on opposite sides, right?
But everybody seems to have this, like, respond. Like, John is almost like the Sir Galahad, right? Like, I guess he's, like, is he the most honorable of them all? Like, the way they revere him, is it because of his skill or because he's this, like, gentlemanly assassin? You know,
okay,
like...
I don't know if
maybe Galahad was probably the wrong reference, right?
No. Galahad was the purest of them. Was the purest of them all because he's the one that actually found the Holy Grail.
Okay.
Yeah.
Score for clone again.
that aside, I mean, I don't think John was ever viewed as the quote unquote purest out of the assassins, right? I mean, he's the most determined. He's the one that you bring on board if you actually want everybody on the other side dead.
But, I mean, he follows the rules to a T, and he left the business because he fell in love. You know what I mean? It's like there is, like, he's the humanist, most human of them all, I guess. Like,
but yeah. I guess the question was, how much of that was him being the most humanist of them all at the start versus how much did him falling in love humanize him?
Oh, yeah. Either he's in love with that guy's daughter, or he's got a newfound respect for life.
Yeah, I also think, like, Marcus is viewing this as, like, John Wick got out. And that's huge for somebody in that line of work.
Is he the one who's...
And Marcus is always, like, looking at John as, like, that's the dream. Like, you managed to get out of that and move on with your life and become and do something that was productive as opposed to what was ultimately destructive, which is taking lives.
Hmm. And it's, I think, what's his name says
that's the redemption right there.
Winston says that to him when he first gets to the Continental. He goes, you know, you got out once. Are you sure you want to get pulled back into this? That's why he says, have you thought this through? You know?
And the question is, like, once you're back in, are you ever going to be able to escape again?
Or would you like the taste of it so much again that you wouldn't even want to escape it again? You know what I mean? It's almost like once a wild animal has tasted human blood, we have to kill it because it will always come after humans. You know what I mean?
And just because you were the exception once does not mean that you're going to be the exception again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't tempt it twice, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think maybe that is part of John's price. And I would love to see in the sequel maybe him feeling kind of bad about it. That he has, I mean, he's going to have, I imagine, new backup, you know, in a sequel.
And that's kind of my fear, is that it's going to become kind of like the Taken sequels.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, there's my other friends that you didn't see last movie who all get killed this movie, but I'll survive again. You know what I mean? It's right.
And I'm going to basically do the same movie again. It's we've seen this movie. You just did this, right?
Yeah.
Why are we seeing this again?
As long as, I have no idea. I have not actually read any of the Collateral. I haven't gone to the IMDb page about it. I don't know what the premise is, but when it says Chapter 2, I could see an immediate, like, oh my God, is it going to be, is it Taken 2? Is it the rest of the mobs now coming after him because they're afraid he's going to go after them? Is it like some other antagonist is going to have a preemptive strike against John for no reason.
My hope and my fear would be like John Wick versus Ian McShane.
Oh, man. How? Holy Why? Crap. Holy shit. Nice. Okay.
Take down the Continental, basically?
Like,
yeah, essentially, yes.
He would have to discover something about Ian McShane that just, infuriate. Like, maybe that Ian McShane killed his family. Like, we could go Winter Soldier on this a little bit. You know what I mean? Like... But, John, we will see. I feel like we have to get more backstory.
Because I feel like, especially with sequels, you have to raise the stakes,
right? But
you can't have the same kind of stakes that were before. So, who was the badass that survived the first movie that could possibly be coming back for the second one?
I don't know. There weren't many people.
Victor
left
doesn't die at the end of the movie. If you see, like, he just walks away. He's like, "I'll see you around."
Well, Vigo's dead.
He dies?
Yeah, dies. Because, like, didn't John stab him in the, like, there's no way he's going to survive that wound.
I mean, possibly, but then there goes suspension of disbelief completely for the first film.
Although John...
And that basically negates the complete point of the first film.
But what John survived, you could argue, like, there's no way he should have survived that, but that's, because he's being protected by divinity. So it's like John's
that's where we go back to that whole, like, okay, is this a superhero movie or not?
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
in some ways, yeah. I mean, basically, like I said, it's basically a Punisher. It could very well have been a Punisher.
I could see him having to avenge Winston's death too. Would be a nice thing, or like maybe Winston dies and he inherits the Continental.
That'd be pretty cool.
And then when he inherits the Continental, there are people trying to go after him because they think it's a power vacuum. You know, like I could see it being. Like almost like that Dread remake where he's like constantly being like assaulted from within the hotel. Something like that. Like people that used to be able to be trusted to stay there are actually staying there trying to set up their own franchise. You know what I mean?
Speaking of which, I heard there are a rumor that there's supposed to be a Judge Dredd series.
They were TV or continuing a trilogy of films. Oh, no. Wow. Netflix.
As a Netflix series.
Interesting. Netflix has been sort of knocking it out of the park lately with things like Stranger Things, featuring a Stranger Things podcast on Hollow Knight Network. check that out.
Watch that. But like the one thing that I thought was really cool that I was trying to get to before was the scene where he pulls up like with the shotgun and he kills the driver and the SUV crashes into the car and he gets Viggo out of the car. He's like, "Tell me where your son is." And he's like, "I can't. I'm not going to tell you." And he cocks the gun, shoots next to him. He's like, "Fuck."
Yeah.
Okay. But
even
fine.
Like what he's saying is like, cool it, John, cool it. All right, let me get out of the car, cool it. You know what I mean? It's just like, dude, you don't get to say cool it. This is all because of you. You could have given up your son at the beginning, and that's where if this were like Ned Stark,
yeah, exactly,
he would have given up his son and be like, "You fucked up, son. You have to go die for this." You know what I mean?
Winter is coming.
And I can't protect you if you're going to be killing people like this.
Yeah, if you're going to be a little shit, you're not worth the food.
Yeah, Stark. You belong in Winterfell, not killing people like a flayed man. Sorry, Gomez.
That's all right.
So, and I think, now, what do you guys feel about Yosef finally does buy it? Like, I think,
feel like it was way too quick.
And it was, it, like, everything else up until then has been so fantastical that it's almost like, how is this even satisfying to John? You know what I mean? It's just like, boom, all right, now I'm walking home. Like, whoa, really?
Okay, but I guess the argument would be that's not really the end point, is it?
Well, not. I think if this were a 90s movie or an 80s movie, it would have been. Because after that happens,
death has finally come for you.
And when he walks away, you almost get that Kaiser Soze flashback effect of it's like blurry and flame, and he's just this dark shadow, like the angel of death. He literally, like, now the demon that has been possessing him could go away.
But here's the thing: Yosef was always a little shit, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, you never get true satisfaction by doing away with the little shit.
True, and I mean.
Yes,
so his father has proven to be an even bigger little shit by sort of backing his son so much this whole time, putting out a contract on him, all kinds of shit. You know,
And there's this theme of loyalty that runs through the film.
Yeah.
And Marcus betrayed that loyalty.
Well, betrayed the loyalty to Viggo, but not to John. Now,
that matters to Viggo.
I almost feel like this could have been left to be the beginning of the sequel. You know what I mean? That, like, Marcus getting killed is what, like, John's like, "God damn it, I was on my way out of town." And I think it would be one of those things that could have done a sequel, like, 2 or 3 years later, like they're doing. But it's, like, the next minute after the first movie ended. You know what I mean? Like, direct connection.
But you have to also wonder at Viggo's intelligence at this point. Like, congratulations, I killed your dog, and you killed my son. And now I'm going to go for your best friend.
Yeah, but there was also, he understood, like, the way Aurelio tells us in the beginning, he understood the symbolism of this, the principle at work here. The fact that...
it wasn't just a dog.
And
it
that
was...
John wasn't just a dog that they could control and keep on a leash either, you know? Like, they tried to give him something he shouldn't have been able to do, and that probably scared the living piss out of them. They were like, "Oh." Because I imagine maybe he did exactly what he's doing to Viggo right now. He probably wiped out an entire other organization. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure Viggo, before this 3 days has been going by, never in a million years thought one person would be able to take them down like that.
Yeah. Except for
maybe John Wick.
Another thing that I feel like would have been cooler or, like, more symbolic is if, like, he gave him almost like a white or a gray car, like the pale horse that death rides.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
In which case it should have been pale green. But anyway.
Yeah.
But that's just, I think that's why, that's why it would be hard to make that turn for it to be Winston versus John for the next movie. Because Winston even gives John that car because Perkins attacked him on continental property, which is so forbidden by the rules that if it happens, the management's like, "I'm going to compensate you, okay?" Like, this would be like a tree falling on your car in our parking lot.
That it even happened under my roof, I'm embarrassed.
Bitch, of all fucking people, that bitch. Listen, man.
But that's a very, like, Deadwood thing to have happen, though.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You got killed under my roof. Okay, whiskey's out of the house for the next round.
Then pussy's half price for the next 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Actual line for the show, from the show.
Because, you know, I take that, like, this is my place of business. You don't do that.
And everybody knows there are rules here.
Exactly. So, and they're my rules. They might not be quote-unquote civilization, says the rules are, but fuck them.
A skull above any other. So the Marcus death scene, I find another one of those ones that like watching the dog get killed in the beginning of the movie. The first time it happens, you're like, no, please, no, no, come on, no. Marcus, be just as badass as John is. And like,
okay, and Marcus is, though.
Yeah.
Because he goes out on his own terms.
Yeah. But I just really wish there was a way he didn't have to go out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why I see like a sequel prequel being like the adventures of John and Marcus, you know, the young, like they got to know each other. Maybe this is a routine they've done before. I'm the guardian angel, you're the infiltrator, you know?
But here's the thing about Willem Dafoe. And Willem Dafoe's been in some crap movies.
Yeah, but he's been in some awesome ones too.
But he hates being in sequels.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the big Boondock 2 debacle. Right?
Yeah, like, but he wasn't in it, but was.
In sequels, rather. Spoiler. And so that kind of, that as far as that goes, like if you know that about Willem Dafoe, and you watch it, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. He doesn't like to be in sequels. He's not going to be in the John Wick 2.
Has he ever said why?
He doesn't like making the same movie twice.
Wow. I just always think there's more story. Like, I mean, if you think about the Oliver Stone trilogy, where he's part of Platoon, and then in Born on 4th of July, you run into him in the wheelchair, and it's like they kind of almost imply he's the character from Platoon who somehow survived, and you're like, oh, damn it, man, that just pisses me off again about Elias getting killed. But here it happens right again, and it's this Perkins bitch involved in it twice, so Winston getting her at the end is even more satisfactory.
Absolutely. It's like, God, like, damn. You just want to see her get shot.
And the way they do it from four different directions, like, dude, you're not surviving this.
No, there's no way.
There are four bullets that might actually all come to the same point in the middle of your skull.
Which just goes to me is like, this was a very poor decision on your part.
Yeah, why did you show up for this, idiots?
It's like, congratulations, you collected your $4 million. Maybe, but you didn't because you didn't get John Wick in the first place.
Yeah, everybody's gifts are enjoyed for like an hour in this movie, and then within that hour they get destroyed. Like John's car after Marcus's death, you know? It's like, she probably like barely got the check for the $4 million, you know?
Exactly.
It probably not even clear yet.
Yeah. I wouldn't, no. You don't mess with Ian McShane. I think that's just a simple rule, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would love to see maybe he ran a school at one point, you know, like an Xavier school for young assassins or some shit. And that's
awesome.
That could be how all these guys know each other. And then he parlayed that into like, well, you're all getting older now. Why don't I turn this into a hotel? And this will be a safe haven. This will be where you save your game and put your inventory back at the end of each level of the game.
And let's see, you have to pay me a gold coin each time you want in.
Yes, and right? You go out there, like, you collect gold coins for all the bounties that you know, hit while you're out there. And I
don't have to do jack shit.
And then you find a stray dog. You know what I mean? Like, there's all these things. Yeah, hashtag video game idea indeed. All right, and now the end of the movie.
Well, John Wick did show up in, I think, Payback. What was it? Payday 2.
John Wick showed up in Payday 2 as a character?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, Payday...
Payday 2.
Yeah. Now, is the first, this is the Jason Statham movies?
No, it's a video game. It's a video game. It's like a robbery heist video game.
And it's John Wick from this movie.
Yes.
Wow.
Badass. Sort of DLC character.
As did
Bodhi.
Is this
Brink?
Really?
Yes.
Is this a console game or is this PC only?
I think both.
Oh my god!
It's on Steam.
I must own.
I have it. I have it on Steam. I haven't played it. I just got it for free.
Must own this.
They have a bunch of download characters, and two of them are Bodhi and John Wick. So you could play. It's co-op. So you actually have one character being Bodhi, and one character being John Wick.
That's insane. That is insane. I need to get this. All right. So we've been.
And Claude's like. And now you must give. I must give you my money.
Like, holy shit! I'm gonna go rob a bank to buy this. So like, let's fast track along here because we're like fangirling all over the place, and it's basically the giant end piece of the movie, which is like a car extravaganza of crashing into cars, trying to get to helicopters before they take off, and
which goes back to the earlier point where John was driving on the abandoned airstrip into construction vehicles.
It pays off pretty big But it's he gets hit too. You know what I mean? Like, he's not, again, this is another place where he's not perfect. And this is what eventually leads us to what we opened the movie, where he's spilling out of the SUV and, like, needs to break into the veterinary place and staple his stomach closed because Vigo gets a friggin' insane stab on. I mean, it's one of those things where, like, he lets himself get stabbed to be able to get up close and break Vigo's arm. And it's like, all right, man, you're taking that risk. This might be the move that kills you both. This could be, like, I'm so good and divinely protected that I might be able to pull this off. You know what I mean?
And poor Avi keep going like, give me a gun, give me a gun.
Yeah, and
Vigo's kind of just jerking him around with it.
Because he's like, what are you going to fucking do with this? It's like, we're done, man. He's like, I don't even think I'm going to live. We're just going to push this as far as it could go. You know?
And Vigo starts drinking, and he's smoking the cigarette. Yeah. And he's just kind of like, you know what?
Does not give a damn.
He's like laughing at it. Yeah, everything's freaking crazy. Puts his seatbelt on. He's like, hold on, all right.
You can almost tell that, like, Avi, like, their relationship has degraded significantly over the last 2 days, where, like, at the end, he, like, even insults Vigo, saying, like, crazy Russian bastard.
Yeah.
You know, where the whole movie, he's like, Vigo, English, please. He's like,
okay, but the question is, like, why would you ever hire your Russian mafioso, and you hire a lawyer that can't speak Russian?
Oh, maybe really? I mean, Vigo's also cheap, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, sure the price was right, you know? It's like, he's old world, he doesn't have a cell phone, he's got a leather-bound book or whatever where he keeps his numbers. You know, he has a cell phone he makes calls with, but I could see it being the sort of old-worldishness of him going like, all right, kid, you got the price I like, so... You know, I'll bring you in.
And maybe he was like a family member's cousin, like, oh, please help my cousin out.
Or he married into the situation. Yeah, who knows? He's Carlo. He's the Carlo of John Wick. And, I mean, ultimately, it's the kind of thing where you knew he was just somebody who was going to buy it at the end anyway. So we're like, oh, it's that guy that we've been watching all movie, and he finally dies. And it's.
You finally get to see Mayhem.
I kind of feel bad for him in a way,
mayhemed
too.
Get mayhemed.
He should have just left, you know what I mean, when he could have.
Absolutely. Like, why the hell's a lawyer sticking around for this shit?
Because that's what they do. I think that's part of what their retainer is supposed to cover. Like, the
retainer does not cover attempted murder.
You're there all the time. Do you understand me? All the time. No matter what. He's practically crying, though, while this is going on. He's like, God, oh, God.
I'm going to die.
And Vigo's like, ah, ha, ha, smoke cigarette. Yeah. Ah, ha, ha.
Good luck. Here's the gun. Good luck. John. It's just you and me now, John.
Let's do this, like, civilized.
Every line of dialogue of his starts with, John, what are we doing now, John? Are you sure, John? Can we do this, John? John.
Russian via a atrocious Finnish accent.
Is that what it is? Is that what
Nivquist is what? Is he Swedish or Finnish?
I have no idea. Is that what I'm imitating? I don't know what I'm even doing here.
The way this guy dies is awful. He gets hit by a car. Shot and then hit by a car.
Yeah.
Like, not even hit by a car straight on. He gets drifted into...
Yeah, he Tokyo drifts this shit.
Michael Nivquist is Swedish.
Swedish, okay.
Yeah, for sure, from Sweden. He's
I drive Saabs and Volvos, yeah.
He was, like, amazed he even got that gun to fire a bullet. Did you see that?
He's like, oh, that's how these things work.
And now I'm going to die.
Boom.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was actually one of the complaints about this movie, was that the Russian was grammatically correct.
But his dialect was garbage.
The pronunciation is terrible.
I just like his English. The very, like, there's a couple words that come out like John, very clean English sounding. Like, John, let's be civil about this, John. But then you're like, oh, okay, yeah, you're kind of working on it there, man.
When mayhem strikes you, what are you going to be doing?
They crawl out of the car, wait for it to go over the side, and then
jump.
And then
suddenly it's raining.
As I say, now it's Matrix 3. Here we are. Every movie that this has been influenced by is now represented on screen in some way. And the final semi-slow motion fight between the two opposing forces that have been facing off this whole movie is finally going to happen. All of these memories will be like tears in the rain. But again, he was like, he kind of first still tried to run to the helicopter, you know? He's like, I'm halfway there, John. You're going to come get me?
Then he stops. He's like, fuck it.
Let's get this over with, man. Everything's
like,
gone.
What also the question is, like, Is John, just because I get to the helicopter and get away, is John really going to stop?
Right. He took
probably
my
not.
He took my entire organization down in a day and a half. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God. And that was just because my son stole his car
and killed his dog. And now I killed his best friend.
I put a contract out on him. I've had like several death squads just disappear in missions to try to kill John Wick. I have no idea how many cousins do you think he has to hide from now? He's got family all over the world. They're like, you fucking got my kid killed. Like, dude, what?
John is just done, man, after this, basically. It's
John? John's got to hide forever?
Oh, yeah. I feel like, because it's like, here's this whole crime organization that he just took out. Like, almost, one of two things is going to happen. One, every other crime organization is going to be like, you know what? Fuck this. We're not going to deal with this guy. You can be whatever you want. It's not worth it. Or they're all going to be like, all right, let's fucking take this guy out. Let's all work together and take this guy out before he comes and takes us out.
We need to nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be
exactly. Nuke it from orbit.
But at the same time, though, I think the way that the movie has portrayed this underworld, I get the feeling it would be more like people are going to be like, look, you really don't fuck with John Wick, all right?
Yeah, pretty much.
He just had him stab himself to get him closer so he could break his arm.
God, look at that arm break. I mean,
if nothing else, John's going to go to the Continental with a few of those gold coins and say, you know what? I'm good for a few weeks, right?
Yeah. Just, like, lay him out on the counter, like, what does that get me, 2 months? Yeah.
Send me the doctor.
Every day.
what's the best pot you have?
And I want someone stationed across from my window, watching my room, and if anybody comes sneaking in to try to kill me in the middle of the night, they shoot me next to my head on the pillow.
Do you have any rooms without windows? Do you have any rooms just in the basement with one single entrance that I can booby trap?
What room do you have that has no windows?
Yeah, a bunker. Do you have the bunker? Or he has the top penthouse, and you need like a helicopter to get to him. But
hey, Winston, how many coins would it cost for me to have your room?
Jonathan, you know, I've got pancreatic cancer and I haven't told anybody. I think I'm going to leave the Continental to you.
That would be awesome.
How awesome would that
be? There you go, guys. I know it's too late for the second one, but that's John Wick 3 right there. Depending on whatever happens in the next one. All right, and so John, when he breaks into the veterinarian, which is where he crashed that car in the very beginning, we get the bookend of this, he gets a new dog. It's a new therapy dog for him.
Yeah,
a
nice little pit bull. It's hardy. Every other dog is afraid of him.
He had been walking with his wife earlier.
Yeah, every other dog is afraid of him except this dog, and that's why he picks him.
Yeah.
Good call.
Right after, he just stapled himself shut.
Again, with no anesthetic.
Because John Wick is a badass.
But I also think maybe a pit bull will put up a little bit more of a fight, too. Like not to talk too much shit about the cute dog in the beginning.
Yeah, the cute little dog in the beginning was a puppy.
Yeah, like there's no way it could do anything. It just literally got stomped out of existence like this was American Psycho. It was, ugh. And so maybe a pit bull's going to get trained to defend itself a little bit, too, for John Wick 2.
I might get to see some dog eating somebody in the next movie.
Yeah.
Good luck. Not only have you fucked with John Wick, you have fucked with John Wick's dog.
Oh, maybe Aurelio could get killed. You know what I mean? Maybe somebody, one of these guys, could get killed.
Actually, looking at the cast list, so I think Leguizamo is confirmed.
Oh, nice. Yeah, dude, you definitely got to watch Kick-Ass 2. He's so good in that movie. He's so good in Kick-Ass 2.
So John Wick Chapter 2 is the actual title.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm in love with that, but fuck it, man.
It's artsy, whatever.
Yeah.
Ian McShane is confirmed.
Nice.
Common is confirmed.
Oh, all right. Listen, I have you guys seen Smokin' Aces? Because Common was pretty badass in that. I got to say, I liked that.
Or it's Fishburne.
Whoa, dude.
Really?
All right.
Yeah.
John Wick. This is sounding friggin' awesome. I'm definitely catching that one in the theaters. Maybe we'll do that one as like a immediate
response.
I love
the picture is him running with his dog.
So the picture.
So you know that I see maybe two films a year actually in the theater. So John Wick 2 is going to be one of those films next year.
You know who else is on the cast list here? Bridget Moynihan. So yeah, we're going to get more wife flashbacks. Peter Stormare. Oh, now this is getting good.
Stormare, who is that guy?
He's the guy who looks kind of like Bruce Willis.
He was the devil in Constantine.
Yeah, yeah.
The best devil I've
ever seen. And I am real Russian hero from Armageddon. The Russian cosmonaut. I'm very big man.
That guy.
In Russia, I'm very big man. Very big man.
American parts, Russian parts, all built in China.
Oh, my God. Who else? Times that? Don't know this person, don't know this person, don't know this person. All right, everybody else is not looking too familiar here.
This is only so far, so.
Ruby Rose, who are you?
Who are you?
Okay, I'm not sure.
Orange
the
New Black.
We
I
kind of
know who that is.
Hey man,
we know where the clone goes.
She's the next Perkins, I guess. she's the next one. Oh, she's also in Triple X 2.
Oh, Return of Xander Cage. No,
Triple
X 3.
But we don't talk about 2.
Oh shit, that's right. Yeah,
we
State
don't
of
talk
the
about
Union.
2.
And then there's Resident Evil, the final chapter. All three in post production right now.
Jeez.
She's cute as shit. Holy.
Yeah,
she's the one that they did the, I saw a BuzzFeed that was like 10 party games that you and your crew could play while you're out that no one else knows what's going on. And there's one thing called Wink Assassin, where you're just supposed to like look at somebody and wink, and if you get them, then now they have to get somebody else. And they used a gif of her turning to the camera and winking from Orange.
That's awesome.
And I was just like, oh my god. What is happening in this world? What is going on, guys? CERN, what the fuck are you guys doing over there? For real.
John Wick in like weird like 90s or 80s noir like neon that's a kind
it's
of
it's actually
faded.
Kind of it's almost Miami Vice-ish.
Yeah,
a
exactly.
Bit.
That's what I was trying to get at.
The font that the credits are in at the end.
But anyway, the film this year that I'm going to actually get to sneak out when my kids are asleep is going to be Suicide Squad.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. That's definitely the one. The Hollow Knight Network is on Suicide Squad watch. It is going down because that Harley Quinn is so damn... Yes. I think every chick is hot, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's just how it works.
Something that I didn't know like that...
I think we've noticed that as a common theme.
Yes. Anyone who's paying attention.
Something that I noticed was I went to go see Tarzan, the new Tarzan that came out, which is weird. If you go to see it, just think about it like this. Remember the cartoon that came out like 15 years ago? This is the sequel to that movie.
Oh, fuck. Well, I'm done.
I'm not kidding. This is the sequel to the cartoon
From the 60s cartoon.
No, not the 60s.
The 90s.
The 90s cartoon where like
Disney.
Phil Collins. Yeah, the Disney.
You'll be in my heart.
I don't know the rest of the words.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about Jungle Book.
No. The 90s or early 2000s, like Phil Collins directed all the music and stuff like that. But yeah, this is the sequels. But his wife, Jane, is that actress is the one who does Harley Quinn. And let me tell you, she's a really good actress. I've never seen her before,
Margot
excited.
Robbie?
I am excited for Suicide Squad after seeing Tarzan only for that reason, because she just did such a good, like, damsel in, not even damsel in distress, but, like, just this, like, feminine badass that doesn't take shit.
Okay.
Dudes, this podcast, because we were watching the movie in the background, is probably almost the length of the film. I almost feel like we should release this as like a syncable commentary track. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, we talked about doing that for the other ones. So.
Yeah, I want to sell those though. So sorry, guys. There's gonna be some exclusive content coming out soon from the Hollow Knight Network, and we're gonna ask you to support us a little bit because we're throwing out some cash. We're upgrading our accounts. We're doing a little bit more for you guys on this side of the microphone. So
You know, as always, if there are other things that you want us to cover, if there are movies that you think we should be watching, tell us. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on Facebook. Let us know.
Because so far, we're just talking about, what am I watching? And, you know, hoping you guys are watching them too. But yeah, man, I think we kind of had the same sort of fanboyish, fangirlish feeling about not only The Lost Boys, but Mad Max, Fury Road. This is one of those movies that has that level of presence and scope and epicness. And so, it was fun to geek out about this one. I think I've been looking forward to it since we said we were going to do it.
And poor Sean from Fangirl Zone. I mean, she puts up with us a lot.
I know. She's a trooper, and she's doing some awesome things over there, so I hope you guys are going and checking out fangirlzone.com. She's actually covering Preacher, which is an awesome, awesome new show on AMC. I don't know if anyone out there has been
a fan
of the comic book or not, but they're doing episode-by-episode coverage on that over there on Sci-Fi Talk. They also are covering basically 12 Monkeys, everything that's on the Sci-Fi Network. Fangirl Zone is the place to check out for all of that. We have definitely almost John Wick'd ourselves on this.
Yeah.
So I think it's about time to put these pistoleros away, put some new cement in the garage, save those stacks of gold coins for the next episode, which we're not really sure what it'll be. I felt like there was one. Maybe we should do Gross Point Blank as like a companion piece to this.
I think that's what we have to do.
All right, let's make that happen, guys. So until next time, it's been an honor to be Dave the Clone hosting you over here with my friends Gomez, not Adams.
Hello and goodbye, as always.
And Cousin Evan.
See ya.
And always check out the Hollow Nine. You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. Follow us on Twitter at Hollow Nine Cast. That's Hollow, the number 9, I-N-E, cast. Email us at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Or find us at our home site, hollow9.podomatic.com. Be sure to check out our affiliate, fangirlzone.com. Find us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. Join in the fun. Hollow 9.
Circle of Doom.
Spinning.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God.
So, say hello to the night!
Everything that I was supposed to do today, it didn't happen.
Because of editing?
No, because I was trying to avoid editing. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to make potato soup. And so we had pork chops and fried potatoes, and I made potato soup and green beans. And I'm I made a lot.
Fucking productive,
really,
you.
I really
didn't
want to edit.
I will probably stay up and edit after we record. Because
see, I did curry on Indian food for dinner tonight.
Nice. Damn.
I've never had Indian food. I'm
what?
First of all, I don't have a gallbladder, so I'm really, really afraid to try.
I think that could actually be an issue, right? I mean, that's actually
it's an issue with a lot of food, that so that's why it scares me.
Problematique, as they say.
Yeah, this was partly just celebration that we got our tax refund back, so we can't.
Oh, nice. It's Indian food.
Nice to get tax back.
Hold on a second. Let me grab a pen for a second. You guys keep talking.